Can you guys hear me? Sound pretty good? Okay, I'm gonna give there's some folk. You guys come on in. Don't be shy. Oh no, I've already lost people. There's plenty of room in the front. I don't bite. Be my guest. Take your time. We got a couple minutes to get going. Okay. So if you're here to see notifications and tiles, you're in the right place. I'm Thomas Fennell. It's nice to see all of you guys here. I see some familiar faces. Before we get into the content, I want to tell you a little about myself and why I'm so happy to be here showing this stuff off. I'm Thomas. This is my real phone. It's up here on stage. If you don't believe me, you can come see me afterwards, and I'll show you all this stuff on my phone. And to talk to you about live tiles and about lock screen and wallpapers is so important because it's some of the most personal stuff you can do in Windows Phone. Windows Phone is personal. It's the heart and soul of the phone. It is the lock screen. It is the live tiles. And so to be here to talk to you about what your apps can do to really capture the user's attention by being so personal, it's the marquee feature of the phone. This is definitely something you want to take advantage of. And we feel like we're letting you do that more and more and more. We're letting you integrate even deeper in the platform. And that's most of what I'm going to talk to you about today, is how to really engage the user with what is the marquee, the iconic feature of the Windows Phone platform. And then talk to you a little bit, too, about how we've taken that even further with the lock screen and other types of notifications that are available to developers now. So what am I going to talk about today? This is the agenda. I'm not going to run through it, but I do have some slides. But for the most part, it is going to be code demo. It's going to be both app demo and code demo, so you're going to see how it all works. But I do want to start off a little bit by talking to you about where we're coming from so that everybody understands the groundwork and kind of the stuff that we started with or came from in 7.5. So where did we come from? So I'm going to talk to you about all kinds of notifications today. So tiles and toasts are the two that most people are familiar with. And there's two ways to do those. There's both local and there's remote. I'll talk about the remote side in a second, but let's just lay the groundwork for the UI pieces that we have since 7.5. On the left, you see tiles. This is what we used to call a standard tile. You can have primary and secondary tiles, meaning your apps tile from the app list is always your primary tile, and your app can programmatically create secondary tiles. And you see all the different properties of the tile laid out there on the side. I don't have an image on the back of this tile, but that's what that's supposed to represent on the bottom. I could have an image down there below along with that text content. On the right, you see toast notifications. That's another UI element that your app can take advantage of. You can show a toast to the user to tell them, hey, tap this. There's something important that I want to tell you. And that toast can deep link, whether you do it locally from like a background agent or you do it from a push. Either way, clicking the toast can take someone deep into your app. And you've got, of course, a couple things that show up on the toast. The app list icon just comes directly from the app list. You don't get to specify that. But the two text fields are something that you specify. And there's a hidden parameter there where you specify the deep link. So that's the visual side of where we came from. Here is how you would send a notification down if you were doing it from the cloud. So if you've got a cloud service that wants to send real-time updates, real-time information, instead of just a local notification that you can do on the phone, you can send those same notifications from the cloud using Microsoft Push Notification Service. And I know I'm going to get a question about this before we're done. So is this push notification service the same as Windows 8? It's not. We're working on converging, but right now they're two different notification services. However, we're trying to make this as easy as possible. We've launched something called Azure Mobile Services. You may have heard of it. It already had a platform for Azure that lets you send notifications easily to Windows 8. We've updated that library so you can do the same thing for Windows Phone now, kind of helping you abstract back from the individual notification services that are out there and just talk to Azure Mobile Services so that it makes it easier to send notifications to both different platforms until we finally converge on one notification platform. I'm going to run through quickly how push works. It's relatively simple. You get a push-enabled app, which means you just use some of our APIs with your app. It talks to the push client service on the phone. That's step one. What you're doing is you're asking for a URI. You're asking for a unique identifier that you can send notifications to. So we go talk to MPNS. We get that for you in step two, and we give it back to you in step three. So your app listens for a callback. You get this URI. And then once you've got it, you need to tell your cloud service, whoever's out there that you want to be able to talk back to people with, you send up that URI in step four, or maybe you send some identifying information about the user or something identifying about the device to kind of keep a record of this URI goes with this person. And then finally, when it comes time for you to send something down, you form up a payload, and it's just an XML payload. And you post it. It's an HTTP post. You post it to that URI that we gave you, and then we take care of sending it down to the actual client in step six. So that's the end-to-end flow of how you would send a notification, whether it be a tile or a toast, either type of visual notification that I showed you, and you want to send it from a cloud service. So that's kind of what we had at the end of 7.5. And of course, we heard a lot of feedback after 7.5, which is great. We love getting feedback. We heard we feel better about push notifications. It felt a little rocky in 7.0. It's gotten more solid in 7.5. But why is there a limit to the number of apps that can use push notifications on the phone? If you weren't aware in 7.5, there was a limit. You had to have at most 30 apps that could individually use push on the phone. So no one wants to be that 31st app, was the feedback we got. People are worried about their app being one that couldn't use push. People said, wow, I love that you gave us some new stuff for tiles in 7.5. It's cool that the tile can flip over now. I can do more, show more with the tile. Love it. It's not enough. Give me more. Give me a lot more. I want to do everything that first parties can do. Why can't I have more of the templates that are available for first parties? People said, I like your new tile API, the one that lets me do local tile updates, but you had this other one from the past called Shell Tile Schedule, which kind of let me poll for tile updates. And those two are super inconsistent. They're really not aligned very well at all. Your APIs need some alignment just across the board to make it easier to develop. And then finally, the thing that I really think we're going to focus on most today, let me do more things that built-in experiences can do. I want to be an absolute first-class citizen. I want to be able to do what built-in experiences can do on the phone. So when we get to the end of today, hopefully, we'll have addressed all these things, and you guys will be happier. So this is a quote that I love to put up because it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy, because this is basically our mission statement from when we were developing Windows Phone 7.5. What can we say? We're totally excited about the new Live Tile and push notification system. Microsoft is keen on making it easier, more robust, smarter, more than just a simple alert system. Like, if I could have written my commitments for the year, this is kind of what I would hope somebody would have said when we were done. So it felt great to see it. But we didn't want to just stop. We didn't invest hugely in push for Windows Phone 8, but we did still invest in the things that developers said were very important to them. So what are those things? First of all, no more endpoint limit. We understand it's uncomfortable to know that there's a chance that your app wouldn't be able to use push, so we got rid of it. Now, there is no limit to the number of apps on the phone that can use push notifications. It's as many apps as possible. The truth is, there's still a limit, kind of, because actually there's a limit to the number of apps you can install on any phone, and eventually your phone's going to run out of memory, et cetera, et cetera. But you're not going to run out because of push. Push will always be available to any app that has enough memory to run. The next thing we did is, I'm not sure if you've heard a lot about it. I know you might have heard it in the consumer launch, but we integrated with DataSense. Consumers were very, very clear with us that they want to be in control of their data plan, and push uses data. It doesn't use a significant amount of data. It can if you have a lot of apps, but in general, it's pretty lightweight. But still, we wanted to respect what the end user wanted in terms of their data plan. So we integrate with DataSense in that if the user says, turn off things that use data when I get to my limit or I'm going over my limit, push will respect that as well. So if the user has turned that on and your application is trying to send notifications down, it's possible they might not make it if the user picked not getting billed overages over actually being able to get data and use their phone. It's a great feature because it really makes sure that the user is in control. And then finally, you may not have heard too much about the new VoIP platform either, but it's open to everyone. You've seen probably an example of at least Skype using it, but the way that you actually initiate an incoming call to Windows Phone 8 is you use push notifications. If you've used push before, you might have heard of raw type notifications. They're usually type 3. A raw notification is something that typically only goes to your app when it's in the foreground. We've extended this concept of raw notifications, which is just a payload that you want. It's completely up to how you want to send it. And it's a raw type 4 notification. So if you want to wake up a VoIP agent so that it can show the incoming call dialog, so it can actually show the same incoming call dialog that the phone usually gets to show, you send a raw type 4, wakes up a VoIP agent, and then you do your incoming call stuff, your connection with your server, you get all that stuff kicked off behind the scenes as the incoming call dialog is showing. That's our multitasking model for VoIP, to make sure that it's always possible to get an incoming VoIP call. That way the app doesn't have to be running in the background all the time to accept the call. It's a more lighter weight approach to making sure incoming calls can always come into the phone. So now to the stuff that most people are probably here to see. What did we do with Live Tiles in this release? Remember I said that people were upset about the tile alignment, the API alignment? This chart is meant to show essentially where that misalignment existed. So basically, in the Shell Tile API, which is the local API you use to send an update to a tile, you weren't able to set front and back images to remote images out of the box. You create a secondary tile, you had to give us a local image. You couldn't start off with a remote image. That was no good. People didn't like that. I didn't like it either. Shell Tile Schedule was nice because you can poll for an image every hour, every day, whatever your interval that you want to set is, but it couldn't do anything other than the image. basically it could only do the front image, which is not very, very useful. It should have been able to do the front image, the back image, all the things that were available on the tile. So where did we land? We fixed shell tile schedule. It can do everything. There's nothing shell tile schedule can't do that shell tile can do. They're completely and totally aligned. We fixed shell tile. So now you can do a remote image as your image when you create a tile. You don't have to create it locally and then go to a remote image. You can do a remote image right off the bat. And as an added bonus, we actually made it so that all of the shell tile data classes can take XML. Now, why would you want to send XML instead of properties, instead of something strongly typed? Well, a lot of people were really comfortable using push. And remember, push uses XML payloads. And actually, this was one of our ways that we tried to align with Windows 8 as well. Because if you've used the Windows 8 tile APIs, they actually use XML as well. They use a DOM manipulation to do all of their tile updates. The payloads are not identical between us yet. But at least you can use an XML string to update the tile. So if you're the kind of developer who's comfortable with using push anyway, you can use those same push payloads to update your tile using a local API as well. So now let's get into the templates. So we have three new templates to talk about today. This one may look familiar because it's basically an extension of where we were. In the middle, you see the medium-sized tile. That's where we essentially left off in Mango. But because there's great new sizes on the start screen in Windows Phone 8, we've made it updated so that you can take advantage of those, of course. There's a small size, which lets you put an image on it. There's now the wide size as well, which has an image on the front. And it could have an image on the back. Again, I didn't do it just for illustrative purposes here. The count is the same across all the tiles, so all the sizes. So when you set the count, it shows up on every size. It's not a property you can set individually. Those content properties you see on the back of the tile, back content and wide back content, those are individual. You can have something different on wide back content than on back content if you want. Because we knew there'd be more room on wide back content, we wanted you to have a little more room to play with. The sizes are listed there on the right. So these are full bleed images when you use these. 99 by 99 for small, 336 by 336 for medium, and 691 by 336. For wide. You'll notice if you're familiar with the old tiles, which were 173 by 173, these are significantly bigger. This is quite a bit bigger, and it looks really, really good in a WXGA display. I'll talk about multi-res a little bit more later, but what you should do is you should stick with these sizes, and no matter what resolution your app is running on, we'll make sure the tile scales appropriately for you. So you don't have to send a different tile size for WXGA, 720p, WVGA. You just send us these, and they'll look great across all resolutions. So now let's get to the templates that you haven't heard about before. Cycle tile template. We got so many developers telling us we love the Photos Hub. The Pictures Hub that's in the phone today that lets images scroll beautifully up across the tile. People said, that's beautiful. I want that tile. I want photo sharing scenarios. I want photo streaming scenarios. I want to be able to do this. And so we've given that template out to developers now. Again, it supports all three sizes. The small one doesn't animate. The small one is a static image. The medium and wide sizes share a set of 9 images. So you've got 9 local images that you can provide to this tile. It doesn't take remote images because 9 images is kind of a lot to download on any kind of frequent basis. We're trying to be a little conscious of the user's data plan. And you should determine if you want to support the wide size or not for this one. We expect most people will want to support the wide size, but in all the templates, the wide size is optional. In this one, let's say you gave us wide images. We center left crop them for medium size. You could choose not to support wide at all, and if you did that, then you should just supply us the medium aspect, like the 336 by 336 size images. It's up to you, whatever you want to do, whatever works best for your scenario. I'll show you an example of how this works, how the cropping works and everything a little later so you can see it for yourselves. And then this is the template that we got the absolute most requests for. This is the iconic tile template. This is the template that all of the built-in experiences on the phone use for the most part. So you think about mail, think about messaging, think about the phone itself. This is the iconic tile template. We call it template iconic in the manifest or iconic tile data when you start using the shell tile APIs. This is not a replica of the template that built-in apps use. This is the same template. This is exactly the same thing, meaning you get all the same beautiful animation effects, all the same beautiful motion, and I'll show you how it works in a little bit. The properties are relatively simple. This is a count and text heavy tile. When you have unread, unseen information to display to the user, that's the main scenario for this tile. So you'll see in small, it's got a small icon. And in wide, it's actually that same small icon. We call it small icon image. So that's one icon you provide, and it gets reused depending on the size of the tile. The medium one is called icon image. These images need to be white with transparent, meaning you can't use any color whatsoever, because if you do, we'll turn it white. And that usually doesn't look very good. So make sure you supply a PNG in white with transparency. And there's some interesting cropping to do on these images. You actually want to make sure that you crop tightly on the horizontal. So I know it says 110 by 110 for the small and 202 by 202 for the medium. That's true. That's the maximum size you can use if you think inside a bounding box. But what we'd ask you to do is on the horizontal of the image, don't pad to 202 with transparent pixels. Crop that as closely to your white regions as you can. On the vertical, however, if you don't go the full 202 or 110, then pad all the way with transparent pixels. We have some great new design guidelines up on the SDK and documentation site on develop.windowsphone.com. They tell you all about this. And we are actually going to have Photoshop templates that make this a lot easier. Our design team did a great job making sure we got new Photoshop templates to make this as simple as possible to make your icons look great. And the design guidelines talk about all the different templates for the tiles as well, so you can really understand what you need to do to get the best looking tile possible. Okay? What do you think? Let's do a demo. This is the fun part. Let me switch over to Visual Studio. Okay. So let's start with just showing you where the app is installed. I don't have anything on my start screen right now, so all you're seeing is the apps list. And this is the app itself right here. It's called the Final Countdown. I'm just going to go ahead and pin it to start. This is my primary tile. I'm pinning it to start. Now, this app is meant to be kind of like a quotes about the Apollo 8 moon mission. I don't know why I would have picked Apollo or the number 8, but there was an Apollo 8 moon mission, and it tells you quotes, shows you pictures, all kinds of stuff from the Apollo mission. I pinned its primary tile real quick, and I just want to show you, in order to get this primary tile generated, this comes from the app manifest. So if you look at my app manifest here, you can see I've got the token specified as template iconic. That's that new template I was telling you about, the same, the built-in template. And it has a bunch of individual elements that you can set. If you didn't want to, you don't have to do this in the XML editor. You could actually use the new manifest designer, and you could specify all this stuff in a GUI if you really want to, if that makes it easier. So you can specify the images, the name, you can specify whether you actually even want to support the wide size, all inside of this GUI if it makes it easier for you. I'm just going to switch it back to the manifest because I need to show you guys some stuff in the manifest a little later. Make it bigger. And we can move on to some code. So basically, just showing you, got the template all set up in my manifest. That's how this tile is defined right out of the box. So let me hook up to the debugger, and we'll launch this app and see what it actually does. Let's stop debugging in the other one. Okay, let's hook up to the debugger. So one thing to notice about this app, because it's going to be important later when I talk to you about lock screen, is notice how it always starts on tiles. This app always starts on this tiles pivot. And what this tiles pivot really is showing you everything you can do with the new tiles API. It shows you how to do an iconic tile, a flip tile, a cycle tile. I even have things in here that show you how to do C# versus XML, how to do local versus remote images. When we give this sample out, you'll have basically everything you can do with a tile in one easy-to-use sample. You can look at the code behind all this stuff. I'm only going to go through kind of a portion of it today. The buttons over here typically represent, let's pin a tile, create a secondary tile, let's update that tile, or let's delete that tile. In the case of the primary tile, I've only got update and reset because the primary tile can only ever be pinned and unpinned by the users, whereas the secondary tile can be pinned and deleted by your app itself. So I'm going to click the update button. I'm going to see I jumped to this button handler behind it. This is what I was saying about whether I want to use local or remote images. So that's just an if statement figuring out what images I want to place on the tile. This is the important stuff. I've got a little helper here that essentially calls out, farms out the request to update the tile in tilehelper.cs, and I'm just going to jump to it next and show you what's actually executing. So it takes in all those parameters about the different properties of the tile, title count, wide content, all the different things you can set about the iconic tile, and then just basically creates the tile for you. Now, this is how you do it with properties. This is how you do it just in a nice, easy, strongly typed way. If you're that developer that likes XML, you can do something crazier like I've done down here, and you can form up an actual XML string for the tile instead. And then either way you do this, you just push that with shell tile.update to the tile. So you'll see I've got another little helper that does a tile action. In this case, it would call this guy because it's the primary tile. I'd already found it. I just call update on it and pass in all the different properties I've set up, and we're done. The tile will update. So let me show you what it actually looks like when it's done. And now on start, you see I get the beautiful animations that you'd expect with that template. I've updated the color. That's actually something really important that I missed. We know that people work really, really hard on brands. And so the user gets to pick a theme color, but on the iconic tile template, specifically that one, none of the other ones, if you want, you can set the background color to be anything you want. That's one more way we're trying to align with Windows. We know all their templates let them pick your own color for the background. And this template specifically, you can do that. You Can't do it on the other templates, but since it's a full bleed image, you could just put your own color back there anyway if you really wanted to. It was important and iconic because it's a transparent white kind of layout that you'd be able to do something with your background color. We did this because obviously brands like Skype, brands like OneNote, things that have very, very strong color representations of who they are as a brand needed to be able to do this, and we knew real like outside world developers would need to be able to do that as well. So I picked a nice blue color for the background. I set the title. I set the count. I don't know if you noticed, but the rocket ship image has flipped the other way. It was this way. Now he's that way. I picked a different orientation for the image. In small, you see the count and the rocket ship as well. And in wide, you get this nice, this is a quote from the Apollo 8 mission, you get this nice three lines of text. And these three lines are not wrapping. So they're three individual text lines that you need to decide how to best use. Typically, it would be something like the name of an email or the name of the person an email was from, maybe the subject of an email, and then like the little bit of the body or however you want to handle it for your specific situation. I'm actually going to go back into the app real quick, and I just want to reset this so that it's cleared off for right now, because a little later on, it's important that there be nothing on that tile, and you'll see why. So now you can see I've kind of just reset everything but the color on that tile to be back to the defaults. So now let's show you what happens when we create other tile types. I'm not going to create iconic because it's basically the same thing you just saw. You don't need to see it being created. It's all the properties you just saw. But if I create a flip tile, I do kind of the same thing. I handle the button click. I pass in all the different stuff I want to put on the tile, all the different properties. And then I farm it out to that tile helper who's actually responsible for passing those properties in and then updating the tile. He does a create in this case. And you'll see how that looks. So here it is, pinned to the start screen. I put a couple different pictures on it. I put a different picture in medium than I did on small. That's actually the Apollo 8 mission patch. And then here's a picture of the moon in wide. If we wait long enough, the tile would flip over. This is pretty common. Most people have seen this. This is an extension of what we had in Windows Phone 7.5. There you go, flipped over, got a little quote on the back. Finally, let's create a cycle tile. This one is really, really pretty. So again, same basic flow. I pass in a bunch of URIs. In this case, these are 9 local images that are actually in my package. They could be an ISO store if you wanted them to be an ISO store. Since you can't specify remote images for this one, we recommend you have either a background agent, like a periodic agent, or a resource-intensive agent that runs and downloads images on a regular basis for your users so that you have something in local store. I know that may seem like we should have just let you do remote images, but the fact is the most a periodic agent can run is every half hour. So at most, you're getting 9 new images every half hour. Even that's a little excessive, but may be the right thing to do for your scenario. I can see, like, during an NBA game, you may want to have 9 pictures of the latest plays updated as soon as possible. There's a lot of good scenarios for it. Just try and remember to get your images in some type of agent. You can even get your images while the app's running in the foreground, but you don't always know when your app's going to go away, so that's a little riskier. In my case, they were all in my package. I set all those different images, again, using the same helper. Hopefully you guys find this useful, but once you actually get in here and see my code, you might realize I'm a PM and not a dev. Try and be kind. And then I just create the tile again, and you see here, this is what it looks like in the cropped mode. Now, again, I actually specified really wide, high-resolution images here, so this is what it looks like whenever it's scrolling in the wide size. And you can see the cropping doesn't really lose much. It does cut down a little bit of the viewable area, but we keep the aspect the same. So in the wide size, you're seeing more of a square image scroll. In the square size, you're seeing the image scroll a little less because it's trying to keep the same aspect ratio. This will go through all 9 images if I let it. Again, it scrolls through the different images depending on the size. And in the small size, it's static. It doesn't do anything. You just pick one image for the small size. Okay. So I think I've shown you everything about tiles. In just a minute, I'm going to show you a little bit about how tiles and lock screen actually work together. Let me switch back. Okay, so there's definitely going to be developers in the audience who are asking, what do I do about my existing app? I know there are developers that have apps out there that do great stuff with tiles today, and if you want to, for now, you don't have to do anything. Your existing app will work just fine on Windows Phone 8. You'll get the small tile size for free, which means we'll take your medium image and we'll scale it down when the user scales down to small. Wide won't be enabled by default, so the user can't resize your tile to wide because wide is a different aspect ratio. We didn't want your image to look strange or stretched or have to pick for you to show what should be on the tile. So if you don't do anything, you get just the small size for free in Windows Phone 8. You don't have to do anything. Now, there is an interim story that you can do. If you want to maintain your 7.5 app, that's great. That's fine. We understand it might take a little while for you to fully embrace the 8.0 APIs, although there's a lot of good stuff in there. So go ahead and upgrade your app. But If you maintain your 7.5 app, you can actually light it up. You can do the new 8.0 tiles features whenever your app is run on an 8.0 device. If you're familiar with the way tiles work, template 5 is the template you used to have in 7.5. We will automatically translate that into the new template flip for you. And then whenever you're using a reflection to do this, you actually use flip tile data instead of standard tile data from before. It's a little strange because traditionally we don't really endorse reflection as a way for you to do new stuff on new platforms, but this is the right thing to do in this case so developers can get some extra features, maintain their 7X app, and still have great stuff on 8.0. What you're going to do is you're going to add something into your 7.5 apps manifest that declares this app is using LightUp. And then you're essentially going to supply new assets that you want to use for your tile. So you would need a new small tile size. Again, we will shrink it for you if we want, but we recommend you specify an image for the small size. The medium size already exists. You're already familiar with how that works. And then if you want to support the wide size, you need to give us a wide image as well. What I'm really calling out here is that you should be giving us WXGA assets for this. You should be giving us higher resolution assets when you decide to light up, because your app may end up running on a WXGA or a 720p phone. That WXGA assets just means what I showed you in the tiles earlier. It's the same that's up on the documentation for the tile design guidelines that's out there today. And do your app list icon as well. Don't forget your app list icon. The small and the app list icon are pretty close in size, so you could really just reuse that in both places if you need to. And then all you really do is on first run of your app, you call shell tile.update. You use template flip instead of standard tile data. You use flip tile data. And you just specify those local images that you included in your package. So whatever you had, that's the new sizes, new resolutions, you specify that in the first run and call shelltile.update, and magically your tile now supports multiple sizes. If the user resizes it, they'll see the new image you picked for small and the images you picked for wide. So your primary tile is stuck with template flip. That's not a bad thing. Template flip's a good template. You can't switch your primary tile to a different template through LightUp. To get all the new templates on your primary tile, you'd need to do an 8.0 app. But secondary tiles can take advantage of all the templates. You can create a secondary tile that's an iconic tile if you want, a cycle tile, a flip tile. Whatever you want to do, you can access all the new classes through Reflection and get secondary tiles that use the new 8.0 features. So this is a quick demo, but I do... Oh, one shout out to this. I love the community. This is fantastic. Before, literally as soon as we had announced the SDK was public, somebody posted they have this CodePlex project called Mango Palo, which is a great name, that does all the stuff I'm going to show you, only he's a real developer. It looks a lot better the way he did it, and it's actually much, much simpler the way he did it. This is a great community resource if you want to take advantage of LightUp. It's really, really cool. So let's jump to the code. Let me stop this guy and get this guy going. So this is a 7X app, and I approve it to you because it's app platform version 7.1. Here is the add additional thing you need to put in your manifest. It's called an app extra. The specific extra is tiles. This is in the documentation as well. This is just something that's specifying this app is trying to be a LightUp app so that the marketplace knows. And then you don't need to touch your manifest in any other way. As a matter of fact, you really can't touch your manifest in any other way because you can't use the new templates in the manifest for a 7X app. Otherwise, it would break when it tried to ingest in the marketplace. So that's where the LightUp stuff comes in. So here's the app. Let me get rid of these guys real quick to make it easier to see. Okay, so here's the app installed. It's not pretty. It's actually using all the default stuff out of a default project, including the default placeholder icon. I pin it to start, and you can see that out of the box, because as of right now, it's still a 7.5 app. I haven't run it yet. All I get is small and medium. I don't get the wide size. I'm going to run it, and I'm going to click. Let me hook up real quick so that you guys can see what I'm doing. I'm going to click this first button, Light Up My Life. All this is going to do is go update the primary tile with template flip using images I've got in the package. Click Light Up My Life. Again, I'm using a bunch of simple kind of tile helpers here to do this. It's just passing all the parameters that you would use for a flip tile to this helper. And then what I'm doing here is I'm actually checking to see if I'm running on 8.0. So let's go up and see what I'm doing there. So what I've actually done is just declared to check the version. So 8.0 would be the version for a Windows Phone 8 device. And if it is that version, then its is new version is true. And that's all I'm really doing to make sure that I'm only executing this code if I know for sure that I'm running on an 8.0 phone. Once I've done this, this actually looks familiar to you probably in terms of the names of the things that I'm calling. The thing is, this is reflection, so it's a little bit messy. You have to be careful because you have to know what everything is called. It's not easy to just get IntelliSense. You should just go check very carefully the documentation as you're doing this and make sure that you're using all the right property names. But essentially, if you just grab everything you need correctly and then invoke the method to update the tile, it does go out and update the tile as you'd expect. So let's just see if it works. Go out to start. See, I've put a completely new image on it. That's the medium size. I've put a different image on the small size. It's kind of hard to see, but that says 159 by 159. Now I've enabled the wide size. So I decided to support the wide in my application. You don't have to, but I specified a wide size image. And I even got access to the back, all the back content, all the properties on the back as well. It's just that easy. So I'm going to unpin this guy. And let's go try running some other templates. So I'm not going to take much time on this, but let's do an iconic tile. Same thing, call a helper, passes in the parameters that I need to this guy down here. And there's the iconic tile. I picked gray for the background on this because I have access to all the properties, including background color. Make it small, make it wide, get the text on it. It's everything you can do. It's just doing it through reflection instead of doing it in you know, the regular strongly typed .NET way. It works great. Let's jump back to the slides. Okay, so tiles are great. They really are a way to connect with your end user, but there's one thing people always see before they see the tiles on your start screen, and that's the lock screen. The lock screen is the first thing you see when you turn your phone on. So we wanted developers to be able to integrate with the lock screen. Applications can now show both account and content on the lock screen. Here's how this works. The way users can set this is they can either find it organically through the lock screen settings in the settings CPL, or your app can take them to that settings CPL, and I'll show you exactly how that works. It's really easy. There's two places your app can put content. There's something we call the detailed status, which is where you probably usually see your calendar appointments right now. The user can pick any app to go in there. And then there's also the quick status, which is the count from your application. Now, to get that nice little icon, you specify that in your manifest. I'll show you where you're going to put that in a minute. And you also have to use some manifest extensions to say, I intend to do these things. The way that this content gets populated is that it comes from your tile. So it comes from your primary tile. The count on your primary tile or the content strings that are on your primary tile are what populate this data. But you don't have to have a primary tile on start. So if the user has chosen not to pin your app to start, but they have chosen to put you on the lock screen, that's fine. You can still update the lock screen that way. You don't actually call any lock screen APIs, though. Again, you just update your tile, and we automatically put that data on the lock screen for you. I'll show you the manifest extensions element in just a second, but first I want to show you one more lock feature. So I showed you on my own phone, that was actually the Facebook app that was updating my lock screen. And there is that new Facebook app is available in Marketplace today. If you have a Windows Phone 8 device, go out, give it a try. What it's doing is it's creating a collage of images, and then it's calling some APIs to actually update the lock screen. So pretty simple. Either your app can programmatically ask to be the lock screen provider. It'll pop an interstitial that the user can say yes or no to. Or again, the user can go into lock settings CPL, and they can choose your app in one of the spots to be the lock screen provider. If the user goes to the settings CPL and picks your app, once they pick your app, a little button shows up underneath, and that button says open app. And what that would actually do is launch your app with some navigation parameters on it so that you know you've been invoked from that CPL so that if you have settings page specific to the lock screen, you can take the user there quickly without them having to navigate the app. We recommend you do that if you're going to do the lock screen. Or at least if you know the user has opened your app from the CPL, then at least update the lock screen right then and there for them because you've already been chosen. Like I said, you programmatically ask. This is a WinRT API. This is another API that would go great with agents. Now, you can't ask to be the provider from an agent because we don't want you popping dialogue randomly every 30 minutes or so. But you can, once you've been set as the provider, go ahead and update the lock screen in an agent. And there's a check you can do to see if you're the provider before you go do any work. We recommend that you put a WXGA image, so in the root of your package. This image would be used if your app had never had a chance to run. So imagine the user downloads your app from the store, hasn't run it yet, goes to the settings CPL and sees, oh, hey, cool new app can do my lock screen. Once they pick that app, this default image is what would be shown automatically on the lock screen. So even if they haven't run it yet, they turn the phone off and back on to see the lock screen, they see something relevant to your app so they know it worked. Whenever they set it, it really was your app that's now in control of the lock screen. And then again, you set this up by doing something in the manifest. This is how you declare your intent to use the lock screen. I'm going to show you all this stuff right now in a demo. Whoop. Too far. Oops, let me stop this guy. Okay, bring my emulator back up here. I'm going to launch the app just to get you into the settings. So like I said, this app always starts on the tiles pivot. But let me move over to the lock pivot, and this is how I can do everything with lock. So once you guys get the sample, you can play with this on your own. But this is basically all the different stuff you can do. You can ask to be the provider. You can go ahead and just set an image while asking at the same time. You can go pick an image from a photo library on the phone somewhere, from your package. You can reset and turn the image back to the default image. I have a demo button here that basically does all this stuff at one time. And then I have a live lock example, which actually shows how you can use an agent to update the lock screen and actually composite an image in that agent. So when you get the sample, you can see all this. I don't have enough time to get through all that stuff. So let's just do, back on this tiles pivot, I don't know if you guys noticed this button, which I didn't talk about before. This is the button that actually lets me go to the lock settings. I put it on the tiles page because your tile is what drives the quick status, the count, or the content. So I wanted you to kind of associate it with it's more of a tile thing than a lock thing. I'm just going to click it, and I'm going to show you how that API works. So clicking this button does this really, really simple call. This is app-to-app communication. Sean McKenna is going to do a session on app-to-app communication tomorrow that goes much deeper than this. But it's really, really simple. This is the key to this. This special, essentially, navigation URI lets you launch out to the settings CPL. So once I let this pass through, you're going to see now I'm in the lock screen settings for the phone. This is the same thing as if I had gone start, settings, lock, and honestly, no one's ever going to find it that way, right? Not really. They will probably if they're playing around, but for the most part, your app getting them there in one button click is much better than them having to go navigate all those different places to get here. So you can see that my app shows up as a background provider, right? So I could choose the final countdown, and it would show up now, and it would be allowed to update the background. Actually, why don't I just do it real quick, and I'll turn the emulator off. You can now lock the emulator using F12. So I've essentially powered off the device, like if you had a real device and hit the power button. Now I've unlocked it. And now you see the lock screen is this image, this default image I was telling you about, because I haven't actually done anything to set the image in the app. I'm going to turn this off so that I can actually show you how you do it programmatically as well. And if you look in the manifest for this app, the reason I was able to do that is because I specified this extension, this bottom extension here. It goes in the extensions element, which has to come just after the tokens element. And it's lock screen background with this consumer ID, this GUID. It's the same GUID for all the features I'm going to show you. And you just specify which default task, or which task is your default task that you want it to navigate with. Very simple to do. Add this line, and now you've essentially got access to be listed in that CPL as a background provider. You still have to do work to call an API to actually set the image, but this is how you get in that lock settings CPL. So in this case, I'm actually going to go back to the app. And I'm going to do it programmatically instead. So I'm going to ask it to let me do this. I'm actually just going to go ahead and pick an image, let's say. It's going to launch the, whoops, my bad. I should have launched the Photos Hub first so that I had something to pick from. Okay, let's try that again. So over to the lock CPL, I'm going to pick an image. There's some sample images that come with the emulator. I'm going to pick some bowling shoes. Why not? Bowling shoes are nice. Hit OK, and now I'm going to get prompted. So here's where it's actually saying, is it OK for me to do this? You see in this lock helper, I have this API that says, let me be the provider. I'm requesting the access right here, and then after I've gotten the access, I'm going to set it right here. So let's move forward. See, this is a system interstitial. Your app didn't have to do this. The system did this for you. Yes, I do want to let this app set my lock screen. That's it. If I lock and unlock. Now you see the image that I picked, nicely cropped, put on the lock screen. Easy, easy, easy. Okay, now I want to show you what happens if I actually go the other way, if I use the other path. So if I navigate to lock settings, and remember I said once your app is chosen, there's this open app button that shows up down below. If I click that, you're going to see what happens when the app is navigated from this. So what I've done here is I've captured what's going on. So this is in the onNavigated to event, and it was launched with some specific parameters. I'm looking for this string, and if I find that string and it has the right value, then I'm doing a navigation. So in this case, what I'm doing is I'm navigating to that pivot that's all about lock. In your app, you'd probably navigate to a lock settings page of some kind. And so this is how you can make it easier for the user when they go back and forth, when they're deep linking into your app, to go right to what's relevant for the specific scenario. So you can see I found that specific key I was looking for with the right value. So since I did that, boom, I navigate right to the lock pivot so that you can quickly and easily do stuff to the lock screen. Now let's talk about the lock notifications. So again, you'll notice that in the lock CPL, I've got a couple places down here I can put the app in lock. The user can choose the detailed status, which again is where the calendar reminders usually went. They could pick my app to go there if they want. And they can pick the app for a quick status with account. And I'm going to again show you some stuff in the manifest that's important for these two. These are the two extensions that you use to be able to do that count and that text field. So this is what we call quick status, and this is what we call detailed status. If you set both of these, then your app shows up in both of those places. Please be conscious of the fact that this list could get very large. If you're not intending to use it for your app, don't use it. Really only put the ones in there that you need to use. Not all apps make sense to have detailed status as an option on lock. Some apps only make sense to have detailed status. Some only make sense for quick status. So use whatever makes the most sense for your application. So you can see I've picked both of those to go on my lock screen now. But if I go to lock, nothing there yet because I just haven't updated the tile with anything. Remember, I reset the primary tile earlier, so it's blank. So now, if I go back into the app, actually, let's go to start so that I can show you that there's nothing on the tile. So the tile's blank. It doesn't have anything on it. Actually, let's go one step further. Let's get rid of the tile. I have nothing on my start screen now. It's completely blank. Can I really still update the lock screen without a tile? Yes, you can. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to update my primary tile. This is all the same code you saw earlier, updating the primary tile, even though it's not on start. And whenever I lock the emulator, now you can see both in the content slot and in the count, I've got text from that primary tile, I've got the count from that primary tile, all showing up. This applies to push notifications too. Even if your primary tile is not pinned, but your app is pinned to the lock screen, then you can send a push notification to the tile, it'll get processed, and it'll show up on lock. We wanted to make sure that no matter where your app is pinned, on lock or on start, you're always able to update that information that's important to the user. Okay, that's it for that one. Let's stop this guy, and let's get back into the slides. So, how did we do? There's no more push notification endpoint limit. You can have as many applications on the phone using push as you want. You don't have to worry about being the 31st application anymore. There's three new live tile templates. Hopefully you're going to say, I'm in tile heaven. Look at all these tiles and tile sizes and everything I can do. But I know that in a year from now, I'm going to have a slide that says, developers want more tile templates, and here they are. So we know it's not enough. We know you want every single tile template. I promise I'm working as hard as I can to make sure every tile template is available to you. And we realize that Windows 8 and Windows Phone's tile templates are not completely aligned. There are always probably going to be visual differences between the two just because of screen real estate. But we know developers want to send one payload to any Microsoft phone any Microsoft device or property. We recognize that's a requirement, and we're trying to do as much about that as possible. For now, you can use Azure Mobile Services, which kind of remove you from having to know about the differences in tile templates. In the future, we're hoping to align even further. We do have more consistent APIs. One thing I didn't even mention is that Shell Tile Schedule can take all these new tile templates as well. It can take them as properties. It can take them with the XML format. It doesn't matter. Shell Tile Schedule, which lets you poll on an hourly, daily, weekly, monthly basis, can now take all the new tile templates if you wanted to. And finally, we believe we've given you deeper integration than you've ever had before. And we really hope that you take advantage of it to showcase to end users that you can make the app extremely personal to them. You can make it something that really delights them, makes their face light up when they see their start screen, or makes their face light up when they see their lock screen. I know every morning when I turn on my phone and there's a different picture of my kid on the lock screen because the Facebook app has composited a new nice collage for me, it just makes me smile. Every single time, it just makes me so happy to see that. But I have one more thing. I have one more secret to share with you guys, and I don't think anybody knows about this. At least I hope they don't. I didn't hear that it leaked, so what is it? Come on, this suspense is killing me. So there was previously a 2-week limit on agents. What does that mean? It meant that your agent had to have its primary app run at least once every 2 weeks to reset the limit on that agent. Otherwise, the agent would expire and it would quit running. But we didn't like that for apps that are using their agent to update their tiles, and especially now that we knew apps would be using their agent to update the lock screen. So we took that restriction away. If your app has a tile pinned to start, and you call shell tile.update, and you're doing that from a periodic task, we will automatically extend your agent for you. You don't have to do anything. So if your app isn't launched for a long time for some reason, that's okay. At least you can continue providing great information to the user because they've decided your app is important. The same goes for the lock screen. Even if your app's not pinned to start, but it's only pinned to lock and you're showing notifications on lock, we will still extend the life of your agent every 2 weeks. Same goes for if you call set image URI for the backgrounds on lock. Same thing. We will extend your agent. So if you're an app that just does wallpapers for the user and nothing else, and they get the most value out of seeing that and not necessarily being in your app very frequently, you don't have to worry about your agent running out. It will keep extending and extending until the user has switched to a different app and chosen something else. That's everything I had today. There are some other things coming up. This is all the rest of the sessions today. I recommend you go to Sean McKenna's tomorrow. It's the one at 12:45 to 1:45, app-to-app communication. And then Sean Henry's on enterprise development. Sean and Cliff are doing one on enterprise development tomorrow, which is also really, really interesting. I go to both of those. I have a bunch more resources here. You'll get access to the slides. We don't need to go through them. But thank you very, very much. I really appreciate your time and your attention. And I'm happy to take any questions. No questions? You guys are super shy.
I have one.
Yep. Right. Yep. Okay, so the question is, I noticed you were checking for 8.0 version for the light up example. What about 7.8 for new tiles? I can't talk about it yet. But it's fair to say that that similar type of version check would be important if it was possible to do stuff with the new tile sizes and templates in 7.8. If we were going to have a solution for that, we would not have you doing different things between the two things. We would think about that kind of thing. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Very
plentiful
movement.
Do we plan to have like a notification history so that if you
miss the
notification, you go see the history?
Yes. What's your name?
Bill.
Bill had the best question of the day. I'm sorry, next guy. Just Bill's question was, why isn't there a notification center in Windows Phone 8? Why isn't there a history of notifications? Why isn't there some kind of aggregation, right? Because we ran out of time. That's not a good answer. It's very, very important to me. I feel really, very strongly about having that in the platform. We get tons of feedback from developers that they want something like that as well. I promise we're thinking very, very, very hard about it, but it's not there in Windows Phone 8. Yeah, it's good feedback. Toasts do disappear very, very quickly, and I don't know how many times I've run across the room and missed it. And, you know, with the new lock screen, it gets a little better because the apps that are super important to you, you probably will put on lock. The fact that you can have more tiles on start, now that they can be smaller as well, means that hopefully at least you'd see a count of something you missed. But I realize you don't really know if that's the most recent thing when you look at it on start. So there's still gaps there that I know we need to address. Cool. More questions? Yeah, you guys can go to the mics if you want.
So all these things you need to address, what's the next rev cycle?
The question was, please tell me your secret plans about when you're going to have a new update.
Exactly.
No comment. Good question. No comment. Anyone else? Okay, code will be available very, very soon. So I don't know if it's actually already up or not, but they will be posting code online. Yep. Yep, the question is, what are you required to do so that your agent doesn't expire in a two-week period? So either you have a tile pinned to start, and you're calling shell tile.update from the agent, or your app is pinned to lock, meaning the user has set it either in content or quick status, and you're calling shell tile.update again for that one, or you're a background image provider, and you've called set image URI from your background agent. Yep, no worries. That stuff's in the docs, don't worry. More questions? No? Yep? Yeah, honestly, I think so. I haven't actually checked what's, have you checked what's on the streaming site? Like, I know that they stream the content. Is the deck up there? Okay, yep, I'll make sure that I talk to the some of the coordination folks and make sure it gets made available. I think we did it last year, so I think we'll make the deck available. It does. So the question is, does iconic template force the question to white? It does. You, we expect you to give us white with transparency. If you don't, we'll turn it that way. Honestly, it won't look good if you give us color.
I wanted to use it.
Good. That's. I mean, it's valid feedback. Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to be able to have some amount of a. I mean, there are people who will still do stuff on the flip template because that makes more sense for them. Like, you'd have to imitate it. I don't want you to have to imitate what you want to do. So that's good feedback. I appreciate it. Yeah, you can change the icon as much as you want, but you can't change the color of it. It has to be white. But yeah, you could signify off or whatever with a different icon if you needed to. Icon can be local or remote on that one as well. Yep.
So what happens if you have an icon with partial transparency?
Do you mean not 100% transparency?
Yeah, like white color is like a bit transparent.
Yeah, so what we actually do is we look at the ARGB value that you give us. If you give us any A other than 255, we will not show transparency, okay. Essentially. So. Okay, good questions, guys. Thanks again. Come up here and talk if you want.